Egunon guztioi, ongi etorriak Donostia Zinemaldiaren 65. edizioa klausuratuko duen filmaren prentzaurreko honetara. Buenos días, damos comienzo a la rueda de prensa que ofrece el equipo de The Wife, que como saben es una producción británico-sueca que clausurará esta noche la 65ª edición del Festival de San Sebastián. Nos acompañan Bjorn Rung, director de la película, las actrices protagonistas Glenn Close y Annie Stark y la productora Claudia Blumhofer. Vamos a dar comienzo ya a la primera pregunta. Primera fila.
Susana, para el cine puede esperar. Enhorabuena por la película. Quería preguntar en qué, si ha tenido alguna inspiración adicional, aparte del guión y la novela, para elaborar su personaje y qué emociones o qué sentimientos le despertaron a priori. Muchas gracias.
Well, I've lived now for a while, and I've been in this business for over 42 years. So I've had many experiences with relationships, you know, in my life and in my work. And I think everything. I had a lot to relate to as far as the feelings and the emotions of Joan. And I had a mother who was. Well, she was married to my father in the 40s and, you know, raised us in the 50s and 60s. So I really understood a lot of what the psychology was. So.
Siguiente pregunta, por favor.
Bueno, buenos días. Enhorabuena por la tremenda lección que nos ha dado la película. Mi pregunta es para el director. ¿Crees que de ocupar la mujer un rol más activo en la cultura, la sociedad, la política, nos iría mejor a todos?
If I understand you correctly, you ask if it will be any change if woman was more active part in culture and in politics. Yes, yeah. Yeah, the absolute the answer is yes. 100% yes.
Siguiente pregunta, por favor.
Hi. My question is for both actresses. I wanted to know how you have worked together to build a common character and make it believable that we're actually seeing the same character all the time on screen, just in different times.
We had the luxury of time to develop Joan, and it was also an unbelievable collaborative effort to create her from the bottom up. We were attached to the film quite early on, which gave us enough time to adequately form her as the beautiful character that you see on the screen. So.
Yeah, we talked a lot. We sat with Bjorn and Jane around the table for a week before we started shooting, and we decided what the most important characteristics were and how to carry them through and how to show them. And Annie made her, you know, decisions on that, and I tried to carry it through.
Right. And then it's two different stories. The young couple is creating a life, and the more mature couple is reflecting their life. So in one way, it's the same character, but it's they are on opposite side. So one is creating their life and one is reflecting her life.
Hola, buenos días. Yo quería saber si tras trabajar con el guión y los personajes, las actrices, bueno, y quizá el director también, si se han ido fijando más y han caído en la cuenta de que cuando veían personajes femeninos, quizá un poco en la sombra, o a la sombra de sus maridos, si se han dado cuenta de decirse a sí mismos, esta es también una buena mujer, una buena esposa, y en cuántas ocasiones han podido reparar en ello. Gracias.
It may. Can I try to answer
yes,
that?
Yes, please.
Okay, my mom would always say, you know, Claudia, you always have to remember, the man is the hat, and the man is always the hat, but the woman is the neck who turns the hat wherever she wants him to look like, to look at, right? So.
I mean the head.
The head, right? So the woman is the throat, and she turns the hat where she wants the hat to look at. I think, and I kind of like internalize that, and I think we all had these kind of experiences in our lives, but I think the time has come, and I think that's also what we all think, that the women needs to be the hat as well, right? And if you look at that, you know, I think it's not about the women, every woman being behind a great man. We women need to be standing on our own feet, and we need to make our own decisions as well. And I think finding your voice as a woman is very important, and that's what this film is about as well, right?
It does make you wonder how many times throughout history men have taken credit for things that women have done, though, I must say. I know it's kind of an unanswerable question, but it certainly begs the question, doesn't it?
I think what's interesting about this story is how complex it is, and that she is part, you know, she is party to the lie as much as her husband is, and it's something that they both kind of fell into, and started this life together until, as they got older, it became something different and morphed into something different, and it became something that she felt was so untrue, and he became kind of delusional in a way. You know, you are told something enough, you start to believe it, and I think she lies to her son up to the very end until she can't deal with it anymore. And so I think it's that moment where a woman begins, it's really the first breaking through of her hopefully eventual journey to really finding herself and finding her absolutely true voice, without her husband, you know, in the background. But I think it's just, I think it's the tension of that moment where she has to, for her own survival, say, I cannot do this anymore. But it's very complex, and I liked that. And I thought Jonathan Pryce did a beautiful, beautiful job playing the husband, because in many ways it's a thankless part, because the audience is not on his side all the time. But I always felt that he had a tragic quality about him that he was very aware of. And his performance breaks my heart, so I was very lucky to have him as a partner in this. And he wanted me to mention his name.
I also think one of the very, very good things that Jane Anderson, the scriptwriter, did with her adaptation from the novel was to bring in David, because in the novel David is a very minor character, but in the script he is very important for what's also happened in the triangle of this family. So David is a very, very important character, and it's Max Irons that played David, because this, in one way, this secret that this couple has together is workable to have, is possible to have as soon as they are two around it, but with the son suddenly feels that something is rotten in the state of Denmark. So I think it's very important there.
Siguiente pregunta, por favor.
Sí. Intensa y estupenda película que me ha fascinado y sublimes interpretaciones, donde no solo los diálogos, sino las miradas son muy importantes, ¿no? A mí el tema de la película me ha parecido bastante más complejo que lo del género, que por supuesto está, porque hay una especie de simbiosis, ¿no?, entre los dos personajes. Él necesita el éxito, necesita que ella escriba, pero ella... en su timidez, ella necesita escribir. O sea, lo que él, como profesor, le impartía, ella lo vive, ¿no? Y por otra parte, escribe la vida de él. O sea, se inspira desde el primer relato y todo lo demás. Él le necesita, ella le necesita a él, quiero decir, tanto como él a ella. Es lo que a mí me ha parecido hermoso de la película, ¿no? Es una simbiosis con todos los conflictos, todos los que tienen las relaciones de pareja, pero me ha parecido hermosísimo el relato de esa simbiosis en que ambos personajes se necesitan intensamente, ¿no? Y cada uno recibe lo que busca, lo que necesita. Ella escribir esa última escena ante la página en blanco, cuando él al recibir el Nobel ha dicho que se queda boquiabierto y atontado delante de una página en blanco, y en cambio ella, ¿verdad?, pasa la mano por esa página en blanco y esa mirada. Bueno, quería decir esto, ¿no?, que la complejidad del guión me ha parecido hermosísimo.
Gracias.
I agree. Thank you.
I think it's very boring to have just somebody who's considered bad and somebody who is considered good. I think all the great stories exist in the gray areas of life. And so in the book, I think, if I remember, he was a little bit more black and white. And I think Jane's writing and certainly Jonathan's performance gave him much more humanity and dimension.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Siguiente pregunta, por favor.
Bueno, primero es para expresarle que lo felicito. Me pareció extraordinario lo que he visto con respecto al despliegue de producción, la actuación. Y la pregunta es la siguiente. ¿Usted en alguna escena o una parte se sintió identificada?
Did I identify the guy? Oh, yes. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I think a lot of women spend much of their life putting a cover on their light and giving their light to, you know, someone else or to their husband or to their mate. And I think sometimes it's an act of courage for a woman to let her own light shine no matter what. And to let that power out, because a lot of times we're not supported in doing that. So yes, I did relate to her. Yeah.
Hola, buenos días. Cuando veía la película tenía la sensación de que iba a ser una película antisistema y que iba a estallar, ¿no? O sea, que iba a estallar todo. Y sentí esa sensación de que qué horror, que siempre las mujeres son cómplices y que seguimos siendo cómplices, ¿no? Entonces, no sé qué sensación tenía, no sé, la sensación de que esta historia en algún momento tiene que girar. Y que las mujeres tienen que romper la complicidad del sistema. A las mujeres, les pregunto. Sí, o sea, la sensación de que en realidad, al final, sigue siendo una historia cómplice en la que ellas están abajo. O sea, la frustración. ¿Sentían frustración porque esto siga así en el siglo XXI?
I do. I think if she had you know, let herself be who she was and have the strength of her own voice at the very beginning, she wouldn't not have been an accomplice, but she became an accomplice through her own lack of self. I can't think of words this morning. Help me.
Well, the thing about
self-confidence, she didn't feel confidence in herself, and she felt that what she had to say was not important. And I think that was cultural at that time. But as she, you know, she had an innate talent. She had a writing talent great enough to win a Nobel Prize. And I think for me, she stops being an accomplice when she hears what they say about her writing. And then and she demands her voice. But she's been with this man so long, it's not that easy. And it's one of my favorite scenes is when they've had this fight, and he says, well, what do you want to do? She says, I don't know, I just want to get out of this dress. You know, it comes down to something very personal and very, and then, you know, so, but I think to see her realize that she has to claim her own voice, it comes at the end. And I think at that moment, she is no more an accomplice.
You know, something that we, you know, established very strongly in developing Joan, especially young Joan, is she's already, she's an introvert. She's a keen observer of the world and the human condition. And, you know, being an introvert paired with, you know, kind of the harsh realities of being a young woman in the 1950s, especially a creative young woman, I think it was definitely ingrained in the cultural psyche. And so as a young, you know, as a young writer, you know, starting out, and also not to mention, you know, that scene with Elizabeth McGovern, you know, Joan truly looks up to this woman as an incredible inspiration, and she's told flatly not to pursue her dream, which is, quite frankly, a stake to the heart. So I believe in the beginning, you know, writing for Jo, I think, was just a way for her to be creative through kind of any means necessary. And then, of course, the lie progressed into a delusion. But, you know, with Joan, though, she's very complex, and obviously everybody knows how complex relationships can be. So it was certainly a journey, I think.
When we started the pre-production of this film, I read a lot of interviews with older female writers, especially from United States and Canada. And there was an interview with Alice Munro, the Canadian Nobel Prize winner. And she told the journalist that in the 60s, when she was starting to write novels, short stories, she couldn't say to the neighborhood where she lived that I'm going to sit down and write and don't want to be disturbed. She has to say, I'm sick. And I will be sick for 1 week or 10 days because I have a high fever. And then the curtains were drawn for the windows. And then she sat down and write. That was also her reality in the beginning of the 60s.
I wonder if your question goes, because you say she stays an accomplice throughout the movie. And I wonder if your question refers to the last scene where in the plane, the Christian Slater character comes back. And obviously, in that very moment, she still defends her husband, who's now dead, and decides that she's not going to give that to the Christian Slater character, at the same time still lying, obviously, and still not having her voice. And you could interpret that as that, and that she stays an accomplice. But we've had a lot of discussions in the editing phase if we actually should bring the Christian Slater character back in the end, or not, and there is in fact a version of this movie where he doesn't come back and she just sits there in her chair, and we as an audience don't know, is she going to go out or is she not going to go out? But I think in the end what we've decided is that you know, for her, she can find her voice and she can be true to her children, and she thinks that's the most important thing. And she can still tell off the Christian Slater character, and actually that's making her even stronger because she wants to still protect her husband and the love that they had. So it's, again, very, very complex in that moment, and you could have, you know, different ends to this film. But I think in the end we made the decision that we thought it's not an accomplice anymore because she has found her voice before, and she said that before, is, you know.
I think she's... I like that he comes back because, and I think that's another complexity to her character. She's not going to give him that information.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be, if she tells the story, and I have to have a feeling that she will, it has to be on her terms and in a way that doesn't, that her family is involved. Mm-hmm. You know, and I, because I don't know how she could keep writing and have people not, you know, make the connection, but I think it's just her saying, "You're not going to enter. I'm not going to give you that story. This man that she knows she can't trust."
And yeah. Remember also that last time we saw Kristen Slater's character, Nathaniel Boone, in the film, he went up to the son David, and after that, everything is out of control. Mm. So in one way, she protects. Not only her husband, for me it's much more, she knows this guy is a dangerous guy in many ways and you can't trust him, so she take care of David, I think, much more in the end also.
Tenemos tiempo para una última pregunta.
Hello, Ms. Close. I watched the film both here and in Toronto, and it was absolutely amazing, your performance there. There's a very funny scene in the film when your husband receives his award, when you're jumping in the bed. I would like to know, because this is really a performance that probably we will see you at the Oscar this year with one more nomination. Would you react the same way? And a second part to this question, if you have ever thought of throwing away one of your awards for any reason. Thank you so, so much for the lovely performance.
I'd jump on the bed, I'd strip naked, I'd run screaming down the street.
Cans of silly string.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much.
Gracias. Muchísimas gracias a todos.